May the love, grace, mercy, and peace of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and forever henceforth. Amen. And as we are gathered here today, my prayer is not only for me, but and for each and every one of the pastors, but for each and every one of you and all that gather here, that our God would give us strength to stand and truth to speak. Strength to stand in His Word, and then our lives, though we all have different gifts and talents, but then our lives, whether it is the words of our mouth or our lives and our actions, that would proclaim the truth that is in us, our Lord Jesus Christ. For that is the very reason why we are gathered here today, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. At the pastor's meeting, our dear brother Nicholas hollered out, "Let us sing our church's one foundation." That brought me to this text here that we find in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. For it is in Jesus Christ alone that is our sure foundation, as Jesus is speaking here to His disciples. The Gospel of Matthew 16, 13 through 19, in Jesus' name. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. We have to remember here that as Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He has just spoken to them about being watchful and careful over the leaven, which He was speaking to be careful of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the strange doctrines that they are trying to keep and keep in force, but to be aware of them, and they had some difficulty understanding that until He had explained it to them. But we have to remember that already Jesus, our Lord, had been walking with the disciples for roughly about 2 years already. He had been teaching in fellowship, exhortating, meditating, praying, eating, sleeping, doing all these things with His disciples, preparing them, just as our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Word, prepares us. And this third word in this very first verse, when it says Jesus came, I'd like us to, if you have your Bibles and a pen, to underline that with a high marker or exclamation marks or a circle or square it off. If not, write it on your hand or a piece of paper. Because it says Jesus came. All through this of what we have just read, I see that it is Jesus that has came and has come for His disciples and has come for you and for me. As lost as they were, so are you and I lost until this one who came unto us. As He says here, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples a question. He came to a place that had been built up and made beautiful by Philip in honor of Caesar. And that is why they called it Caesarea Philippi. And this is where Jesus came to ask his disciples these questions. This question that we see, this first one, seems to be kind of in contrast. But nonetheless, Jesus has come. He has come here today for you and for me, just as much as he had came to Caesarea Philippi, to reveal to his disciples himself as the Son of God, the one, as our dear brother has said, that will take away the sins of the world. This one, as he asked this question, it seems, when I first read this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When I think of how great our God is, from the very foundation of the world and all of his creation, he knows the thoughts and intents of every heart here and every heart everywhere. He knows our hearts and our minds. He knows our sinfulness, our badness, our goodness. He knows our faith. He knows everything there is to know about us. And yet he asked this question. But I believe he asked this question to his disciples so that they could have a context, you might say, so that they would realize within their own selves the conviction that Christ had been teaching them for 2 years already. They had been hearing the Lord Jesus himself in person. Now, I don't pretend to be our Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm certainly not. I'm one of his children. But Jesus lives in me, and he lives in you. So personally, you are hearing Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus spoke to his disciples in this day and age, so you also now hear his voice, as this living word is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking unto you, this one that has come for you, that loves you so dearly. So he puts this question to them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now we know that if we would ask this question to those that are without a good shepherd, that do not know Jesus Christ, there we could have many different answers. And as we see here, that as the disciples answered Jesus, and as they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. These are the answers that Jesus very well knew he was going to receive. In total contrast to the next question of what the true answer that he was looking for from his disciples. But we have to remember that they had been hearing our Lord Jesus Christ for several years already. And sometimes we even, we may wonder even, we have regrets that why didn't I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd so many years ago? We have that within our hearts. I know it's been a question of mine on my own several times. But it's not in the fact that that I didn't, but it is the fact that when God calls and God gives that question, that when we have finally heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, believing in this one of how and who he is, of the one that has performed the miracles that even the disciples had witnessed, raising the dead unto life, healing the sick and the lame and the lepers, and all of these ones, and then by his word penetrating, coming into their hearts, just as we grow in the grace and in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, year after year, convention after convention. That word strengthens us, helps to encourage us to keep going. And as Paul writes, to run the race that has been set before us. So as they gave these answers, as they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Well, perhaps they had listened to King Herod, who had said that perhaps this is John the Baptist, this man who calls himself Jesus. And then others, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But do you realize something here? Every one of these prophets, John the Baptist had been beheaded. Elias had been long dead. Jeremiah and all the other prophets, they would have had to be resurrected to come back from the dead, to be as they said that they would be. But there is only one that has come back from the dead, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in him, though we face death on this earth, as Pastor Ilanimi has said, in a twinkling of an eye, in a blink, as our eyes close to this world, our eyes open into the world that God has prepared for his children who love him. So he saith unto them this question, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye? He directs it from a broad public question of who do all men say that I am, but he points it to a personal, to you and me, to the disciples, to Peter, and to you and me, that whom say ye that I am? Who do we say is Jesus Christ in this day and age? Who is he to us? What has he done for us? What can he continue to do for us? And in Christ Jesus, I find the strength that in him I'm able to overcome this world and all of its evils and temptations that are there. For I know, as he says, that I can be of good cheer, and so can you. For my Lord Jesus Christ has overcome this world. He assures us of that in him. And I believe this is a beautiful statement by Simon Peter. We know that he was very bold and very brash at times, and he was in no way perfect, just like you and I are in no way perfect. We don't always love the Lord our God as we ought to, but nonetheless we are found perfect in Christ. So he asked, who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. Thou being singular. Christ being singular. One who went to the cross of Calvary. One who paid the sin debt. One who shed his blood for you and me. One that rose again in victory over death, hell, and the devil. One. And it would have been enough even if he would have said, thou art the Christ, because that speaks of it as even in a whole, that thou art the Christ. Thou art God's anointed one. You are the Messiah. But he continues on even, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So then Jesus in verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of John. He gives Simon his full name. Simon, this old man, the old creature, just as you and I, we have a name. And in this old name, even in confessing in the name of Jesus Christ, God blesses us. Yes, we are still this old creature. But our Lord Jesus Christ blesses us. Blessed art thou. Because of something that we have done, as Pastor Ilanimi has said, he has gotten an inheritance. We don't deserve no inheritance. Do we deserve God's grace and mercy? The greatest inheritance that any man could receive? No, we do not. But blessed are those that believe in the Son of God, in Christ. Believing in this one, as he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And he goes on to tell him, in this old man that you are, in the intellectual mind that you have, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. His own mind could not conjure or manufacture this. Yours and my mind cannot comprehend this inheritance that we have, not with our earthly mind. And that is what Jesus is telling Simon here, and each and every one of us. It is not something that we can manufacture and come with our own selves. It is not any of good works of my own hands or how well I follow God's laws. But it is what I believe. What I believe in what this word tells us, this living word, that Jesus is the Christ and that he paid the price of my sin and your sin and has now made me a new creature, as he says here in that in the next verse, as he says, thou art Peter. We see a change, don't we? But he tells Peter that it is not by your flesh and blood or by your earthly mind, but, as he says, but by my Father which is in heaven. It takes all of the credit away from us, doesn't it? In the old man, it takes all the credit away. We can give no credit for the inheritance that we have. And even in the new man, we can take no credit in the inheritance that we have. We can only look to the Father and say, thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift that you have given us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith, that I can believe that my sins have been atoned for upon the cross of Calvary. So you see, it is Jesus that has came. And it is Jesus that has paid the price. And it is Jesus, as we have read in the Psalms, that has provided the beauty of the work on the cross. And it is Jesus who then now gives us the faith, this one who has came unto us and has taught us and exhortated us, fellowshipped with us, that we may now this day freely believe that yes, my sins are forgiven in his precious atoning blood, and that Jesus is my Lord. I can believe this with all the surety of my heart, and so can you. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, the new Peter, the new man, this one who had confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is the only begotten Son of God, in whom God was well pleased. Many times, even here, as we see, as Jesus has said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And we see in the scriptures even that we are blessed, and we certainly know that. We certainly know that we are blessed by God. But did we have anything to do with this blessing? Certainly not. God has given us this blessing in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. As I've said, not manufactured by our own intellectual mind, our own thinking, our own works, our own goodness, our own holiness, our own righteousness. As God's word says, that my righteousness is as filthy rags. So this new man, Peter, can he trust in the fact that now that he is a new man? Or as can we say here, that rather Peter is trusting in the God-given faith that has been given unto him, on whom he now stands, in whom he had been exhorted and had been taught these last 2 years, and the conviction that had came into his heart. It is on this one, as he speaks of here, and upon this rock. Peter and the rock are not the same two things. The rock is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the rock of our faith in which we stand upon. Nothing else. As wonderful as the foundations that we have within our Apostolic Lutheran Church, they are certainly most wonderful. They help us, they guide us, they teach us in the way that we ought to go. Each and every one of those foundations of the sacraments, in every one of them. But as our Lord Jesus Christ says here, upon this rock I will build my church. In the earlier chapters of Matthew here, he speaks of the house on the rock and then the house that is built in the sand. First and foremost is the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of faith. And when these other foundations are placed upon that foundation, that each and every one then helps us in this walk and journey that we are in, and keeps us on this narrow way, which in truth is not so narrow when you believe in Jesus Christ. But as I have said, and as our church is built upon, and as this theme is on faith, and faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it is Jesus that has come. And it is Jesus that speaks unto you and unto me. And it is Jesus who then asks the question to you and to me, whom say ye that I am? Can you say with all honesty that Jesus is your Savior? That he is your Lord? That he is your Redeemer? And that he is the very object and subject of your faith? And that in him I stand, and I stand strong, even as we pray that the church would stand strong on this foundational rock that shall not waver, even though the storms of life may come, as it tells us of the foundations that are built in sand that then sink and are gone so quickly. But the solid rock of Jesus Christ shall stand, even as he says, the heavens and the earth will be removed, but my word shall not. It shall stand forever. And then as he says, and then even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was victorious over death, hell, and the devil. So that not even the gates of hell, though they be opened and all the devils and all that there is comes forth to attack the church, and we know that is very prevalent in this day and age. The devil is doing all that he can, for he knows that his time is short. Do we need to fear? Maybe in some sense, yes. But not if we are on the solid rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grasping a hold of the faith, God-given faith that our Heavenly Father has given unto us to freely believe in Jesus Christ. And I tell you today, you can. You can freely believe in Jesus Christ by the hearing of his word, by his own word, coming from his own lips, as even here the disciples heard from him. You are hearing the same voice of the Good Shepherd, to come unto me, to me that has come unto you first, to love me as I have loved you. So the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he continues on, of what he does, that he gives to the church, to his children. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I will give. Did you notice that? It is Christ who says that I will give. Just as he has said, my Father has revealed. And now it is Christ our Lord says that I will give. And he gives the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The proclamation of his word, that all your sins have been atoned for upon the cross of Calvary by the shedding of his blood, and that by faith in him you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. By Christ, the foundation in which we stand. And we have been given these keys to the kingdom to pronounce to one another, the earthly church, for the forgiveness of sins. When we would turn unto him and look to him as the author and finisher of our faith. These keys, they have a power that is much greater than you or me or any pastor here. Any pastor here. I know Pastor Don, our dear pastor here in New York Mills for many, many years, has often said from the pulpit, if he could give faith, he would give it to each and every one of us. But he cannot. As it tells us here, the Father is the one that gives the faith. We may proclaim the word of faith, but it is the Father that gives the faith. That's the power of this key, as he is speaking of one of the keys here that he is speaking of. That it is the Father and his power. Yes, it is proclaimed through his word, the hearing of it, so that faith would then come. But he is the one that turns that key in the lock of our heart, you might say, and opens our heart to give us that God-given faith, to humble ourselves before him, to recognize ourselves that, yes, we are sinners. But I look to you, Father, for your grace and mercy. And as he continues here, and I will give unto thee the keys of kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this word, even now, God's word, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, goes out to you, each and every one, and into this entire world. And who's ever listening on the internet or radio or whatever, however it's being broadcasted, it looses and binds. I don't have the power to loose and bind. Not a pastor here does. But God does. By faith in Christ Jesus. So this word goes out. For some, the heart melts. And the faith pours out. And it overflows. For some, the word binds. It's too hard. I don't want to live that way. It's too narrow. We don't know how God's word works. But we know that when God gives us faith to believe, it has come from God. And that is then where we then put our trust. And as he speaks of here, that I will build my church. It is Jesus who is the head of the church. And it is Jesus who then builds his church. And we then are the members or the children of his church. The church in whom he loves. The church in whom he is fitly enjoined together so most wonderfully. By faith. In this, as he says here, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I don't know how many years your congregation per se has been in existence, but the Church of Christ has been going on for thousands of years. And we are but, you could say, even a small flock or a speck even of that church. But nonetheless, we are members in Christ Jesus and in his church when we believe on this name that came for you and for me, as he came to Caesarea Philippi, and as he has come here today, and each and every day that he comes here, that this word that we speak, and we pray that it would enlighten you and encourage you and assure you, and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For is that not all our desire? So that we would be prepared, so that when that day comes, whether it is today or tomorrow or 100 years from now, we would be prepared as God's children, and that we could be, as it tells us in his word, to come quickly, Lord Jesus. We know not the hour, but as he asked his disciples to watch and to pray, that's what I ask for you and for me, that we watch and that we pray and remember that Jesus came for you and for me. May God add his blessing unto this word this day, and all praise, honor, and glory be unto him. Amen. Shall we humble our hearts in the closing prayer and benediction? Gracious Heavenly Father, there's great power in your name, for your name has come upon fallen mankind. And when we consider how great your name is, that in your name there is the forgiveness of sins. Even as Peter had come before the lame man outside of the temple, and he had said to that man who was simply looking for a meal for the day, he had said that silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. In that name that came unto that lame man that day, just as the same name that has come unto us this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.